A confused moment for markets? From Marketplace in New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson in for David Brancaccio. The U.S. continues to weigh a military response in Syria after a reported chemical attack there over the weekend. While President Trump tweeted that missiles will be coming yesterday, today he tweeted that he never said when an attack would take place. Could be very soon or not so soon at all, he wrote. That had investors breathing perhaps a small sigh of relief. Susan Schmidt is here to tell us what else is going on in the markets. She's Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas. Hey, Susan.
Good morning.
So you've described this as a confused moment in the market. Why is that?
We're right on the cusp of earnings reports, and the street is going to be focused on that. But at the moment, the attention has drifted. And so there are a lot of headlines capturing professional investors' attentions, whether it be related to international actions or even what's going on internally, domestically, different investigations. And so the market is getting nervous about the headlines and I think distracting itself from the core fundamentals. Fortunately, earnings are about to arrive. They should be pretty strong. And so we expect this to be a good pivot point where the market can go back and refocus on what's important, which is the fundamental earnings power of these businesses.
So as investors refocus on the fundamentals, tomorrow's going to be a pretty big day. Tell me about that.
Citigroup, JP Morgan, Wells Fargo will all be reporting on their businesses and how they've done in the first quarter. They're all important because they're a reflection of business throughout the country. They're banking the consumer and the businesses across America. And so people will be looking to hear how those CEOs are feeling about the underlying economy and what their outlook is going forward.
Okay, thanks, Susan. Susan Schmidt, Portfolio Manager and Senior Vice President at Westwood Holdings Group. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Delta's reported how it did in the first 3 months of the year, and better than expected, that the company still has other challenges, as Marketplace's Jed Kim reports.
One challenge for Delta is increased costs, like for the stuff planes need to actually fly. Fuel, oil prices are up, margins are down. Savi Syth follows the airline industry for Raymond James.
It takes a while to push through fuel-related fare increases, but eventually airlines should be able to do that.
Overall revenue is strong. Yes, it's down, but down from years of crazy low fuel prices coupled with high demand for seats. Seth Kaplan is the author of a book about Delta. He says the carrier has created expectations among investors and employees. Last year, the company gave a 6% raise to most of its workers.
They promised these employees back in the bad old days of bankruptcy last decade, if you stick with us, we'll give you some of what we've taken away when profits are again strong. Now that bill is coming due.
Even with a mixed earnings report, Delta is expanding. It's offering new transatlantic flights, including direct ones from Atlanta to Lisbon. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
Objective, trustworthy journalism matters. We hear from listeners like you every day that Marketplace helps you understand the financial forces that affect our lives so that you can make better decisions. Now, this is your chance to be part of our efforts to raise economic intelligence across the country. When you support Marketplace today, your donation will be matched dollar for dollar by our friends at the Candida Fund. As a nonprofit news organization, we're counting on your help so that we can continue to grow and keep getting better. Don't miss out on this chance to make your donation go twice as far. Become a Marketplace investor today in whatever amount is right for you. You do it by going to marketplace.org.
One of the symbols of Brexit is the UK's plan to drop its burgundy-colored EU passport and instead issue a traditional British blue and gold document. The hitch, the contract to produce those new passports could be taken away from a British company and given to a Franco-Dutch firm. One Brexit-supporting politician has called it a national humiliation. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
Forget the fancy French name, as the company's promotional video proudly declares.
De La Rue is a 200-year-old British company.
With a global presence.
The firm makes passports and banknotes for dozens of countries, including Britain.
We are a committed and strategic partner to the British government.
So imagine the shock and dismay when De La Rue was told it would not be printing the new post-Brexit British passport, Chief Executive Martin Sutherland.
The new blue passport is an icon of British identity, but now this icon of British identity is going to be manufactured in France.
Not only is De La Rue losing a $700 million contract, he says the company's reputation has been damaged as it prepares for the free trading opportunities after Brexit.
I think the British government should be supporting British business in the post-Brexit world, and this decision doesn't do that.
But British government minister Matthew Hancock pointed out the UK is still bound by European Union regulations.
There's a set of rules that apply to government procurement to make sure we get good value for money.
And the rival Franco-Dutch bid undercut De La Rue's, saving UK taxpayers $170 million. Richard Tice, a pro-Brexit property magnate, welcomes the saving.
That's a lot of money that one can invest in public services.
And he says the whole point about Brexit is to be free of protectionism.
We are advocating free markets, we're advocating an outward-looking global Britain, and we should welcome open competition.
He accuses De La Rue of trying to have its cake and eat it, demanding that Britain keep its passport production at home while urging foreign governments to farm theirs out to a British company.
We design and print product for over 140 countries,
working closely with them to design symbols of national pride.
Nevertheless, De La Rue's complaint has struck a nerve. The UK government's now postponed a final decision on the contract until next week. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And finally, the latest in simmering trade tensions between the U.S. and China. A Chinese commerce official said the country would unquestionably retaliate against the U.S. if it pursues more trade restrictions. A spokesperson also said the two countries haven't conducted any negotiations related to trade recently. In response to earlier Chinese threats of retaliation, the Trump administration is mulling tariffs on $150 billion worth of Chinese goods, up from its initial $50 billion proposal. In New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.